touch that dial. It's the Morning Answer with Joey Hudson.
Joining us this morning, Cherokee County Sheriff Steve Mueller. Sheriff, welcome in.
Good morning. Glad to be with you guys.
Joining us today, Nathaniel Carey. Nathaniel, welcome in.
Thanks so much for having me on, Joey.
I want to introduce you to someone, Mike Gallagher. Sheriff Wright, welcome in.
Welcome. Hey, man. Thanks for letting me be on your show. And Mike, big fan, by the way.
Get caught up on what happened while you were sleeping with breaking news, weather, and traffic. Welcome to the Morning Answer with Joey Hudson on 94.5 The Answer.
Welcome in. Glad to have you along on this Thursday morning. A little bit different today. I'm broadcasting from our Paris Mountain site. I've been telling you about this for the past week or so as we demonstrate the station's responsibilities as a FEMA designated PEP station, primary entry point. So what is a PEP station? We're a privately owned commercial, non-commercial radio broadcast stations that cooperatively participate with FEMA to provide emergency alert and warning information to the public before, during, and after a national or local emergency. PEP stations are located throughout the country, have a direct connection to FEMA, and we serve as the primary broadcast source for presidential national public warning system messages. You know, we saw just last week, and we're continuing to see the devastation in the Bahamas as Hurricane Dorian wreaked havoc down there. Over 2,500 people unaccounted for, the death toll around 50 or so, but that's going to climb significantly, unfortunately. And communications, it's a real challenge down there. It's a real problem. So that's a primary example of a situation to where if we were to have some type of natural disaster in the upstate of South Carolina, western North Carolina, or northeast Georgia, we would be available to stay on the air. Tommy and I would head up to Paris Mountain, where I am this morning. We have this nice little concrete building that I could be on the air 30 to 45 days, a backup generator with a large supply of diesel fuel, and those little MREs that they tell me that somewhere back there in one of these brown boxes that there is a bacon, egg, and cheese sandwich. I'm not sure that's really the case, but
just
we
add
have the
water.
Broadcast. Just add water. There you go.
Yeah.
Now, Tommy, would you be adding the water or would I add the water?
I'm going to let you add the water just for...
we'll work that out.
Health standards, you know.
We would be able to keep the public informed of what to do in the event of emergency. And, you know, yesterday as we remembered 9/11, that was a big part. When those two towers fell, a large part of the New York communication network was on top of those towers. I remember that vividly. I told you the story yesterday of how Mike Gallagher and I communicated via the digital pagers, texting back and forth. That was the only thing that was working. So we would be able to stay on the air, let the public know who to call, where to go for help, where supplies were, as part of our responsibility here as a PEP station. A busy morning planned for you. A lot of people coming through this morning, 6 until 9, as we make our way through the morning. We'll be keeping you updated on the news. And, of course, your phone calls and your comments on the Big Rock text line are welcome, as always. 877-235-9405, the Big Rock text line for all your natural stone and hardscape needs. Visit GoBigRock.com. Portions of the show made possible by Carolina Generators. Don't be left in the dark. Let Carolina Generators give you the peace of mind with one of their reliable Generac power generator products backed by world-class service and support. A little later this morning, we're going to be visited by Lieutenant Governor Pamela Evatt. State Senator Dwight Loftus joins us. A.T. Smith, former Deputy Director of the Secret Service, he has some interesting stories to tell us about his experience on 9/11. Chief Phil Jolly from the Pelham-Batesville Fire Department, Jay Merritt with the Greenville County Emergency Management, George McKinney from Greenwood is going to be joining us as well. Just a lot of people here with FEMA as well going to join us to talk with us a minute about why we're here today, what the significance and the importance of having this this facility at our Paris Mountain broadcast location. We spent a good bit of time yesterday sharing our stories of 9/11. Many of you called in, you commented on the Big Rock text line about where you were on 9/11, and that continued throughout the day as various people around the country talked about what they were doing on 9/11, how they remembered 9/11, and the fact that we can never forget, that our country has to continue to remember what happened on that dark day in our nation's history. And again, that's part of the reason we're here today as well. In the event of another 9/11, God forbid, that we would be able to stay on the air and keep you updated. Standing just a few steps away from the side of the World Trade Center yesterday, from the South Tower, where his 76-year-old mother, Frances, walked into work that morning, like every morning, like she had been doing for years, never to return home. Nicholas Harris, Jr., he was one of the many family members who read the names of the nearly 3,000 people who lost their lives that morning, just like his mom. She never went back home in 2001. He had a message for the squad, for Representative Ilhan Omar specifically.
Manuel Gomez, Jr.
And my sister, Patrice Paz, whose leadership ensured the safety of many, but was lost when she went to find a missing coworker. You will always be my hero.
And my mother, Frances Harris. Good morning, brothers and sisters in good faith. Listen, some people did something. I am here today to honor my 76-year-old mother, Frances, on the solemn 18th anniversary of the 9/11 attacks. Mom, we all miss you and love you very much. This day I also remember over 200 personal friends and coworkers that I knew that died. I remember Virginia Fox, Warren Grifka, and Lou Avesano. And I remember your sons and your daughters, your parents and siblings, and all first responders. I remember all. I remember them all and pray with you for them today. Some people did something, said a freshman congresswoman from Minnesota, to support and justify the creation of CARE. Today I am here to respond to you exactly who did what to whom. Madam, objectively speaking, we know who and what was done. There is no uncertainty about that. Why your confusion? On that day, 19 Islamic terrorist members of Al-Qaeda killed over 3,000 people and caused billions of dollars of economic damage. Is that clear? But as to whom? I was attacked. Your relatives and friends were attacked. Our constitutional freedoms were attacked. And our nation's founding on Judeo-Christian principles were attacked. That's what some people did. Got that now? We are here today, Congresswoman, to tell you and the squad just who did what to whom. Show respect in honoring them, please. American patriotism in your position demand it. For God and country, amen.
As you hear, he got a round of applause. Obviously, Mr. Harris was referencing Representative Omar's remarks earlier this year when her "some people did something" comment drew such widespread criticism at a March 23rd fundraiser. Here's what she said exactly. She said, "Here's the truth. Far too long we have lived with the discomfort of being a second-class citizen. And frankly, I'm tired of it. And every single Muslim in this country should be tired of it," she said. CARE was founded after 9/11. That was not true. CARE was founded way before 9/11 because they recognized that some people did something and that all of us were starting to lose access to our civil liberties. That's what started this whole thing. Ms. Omar tweeted about the attacks yesterday around the same time that Mr. Harris was remembering his mom, It's not clear whether or not she was actually responding to his comments, but she tweeted this. September 11th was an attack on all of us. We will never forget the thousands of Americans who lost their lives in the largest terror attack on U.S. soil. I will continue the fight to make sure we care for the first responders and families who lost loved ones. Hashtag never forget. Evidently, Ms. Omar is feeling the heat. Up next, we're going to get you updated with the president responded to Mr. Bolton, John Bolton, leaving. And Whoopi Goldberg had a few comments about some members of Congress and basically calling them out on not being respectful of 9/11 and asking where were they when Congress had a moment of silence in remembrance of 9/11. And, of course, we welcome your calls as we broadcast today from atop Paris Mountain. We'd love for you to join the conversation. Lots of ways to do so. 877-235-9405. It's 617. Got to get that right. 617 here on 94.5 The Answer.
The Morning Answer, a 94.5 The Answer.
You know, we experienced Hurricane Dorian last week. Peak hurricane season is here. Winter ice, believe it or not, just around the corner. And that means power outages are going to be happening much more often. When the power goes out this year, don't be left in the dark. Instead, give Carolina Generators a call today. As a subsidiary of Carolina Heating Service, Carolina Generators is the Upstate's Generac Power Pro premier dealer, and they have a huge selection of backup generators to keep your home's lights on when the power goes out. Their team of power generation experts, they're going to work with you to help you find the perfect solution to fit your unique needs. Whether you want to power a couple of rooms or keep the whole home up and running, beyond just a sale, their team is dedicated to your satisfaction, which is why they're proud to offer 24/7 support if your home loses power. It's just one of the many reasons Carolina Generators was voted this year's Best of the Upstate for generator and emergency power. Schedule your free in-home power pro assessment by visiting them online at carolinagenerators.com. Carolinagenerators.com. Be sure and tell them I sent you. 618 here on 94.5 The Answer.
It's the nicest way to start your day.
I used to listen to another station in town, and I found you guys by accident. And even my kids have noticed that when you have a caller that you don't agree with, you are so polite to them, and you thank them for calling and giving their point of view. And I want to say you are ahead above the others.
The Upstate's live, local source for breaking news and what to think of it. The Morning Answer with Joey Hudson on 94.5 The Answer.
Portions of today's show brought to you by Carolina Generators. Don't be left in the dark. Let Carolina Generators give you the peace of mind with one of their reliable Generac power generator products backed by world-class service and support. And I'm told that's how we're staying on air right now. We have our backup generator. You may be able to hear some of the noise in the background. If not, maybe, Tommy, you could have like a sound effect of a generator.
Oh, don't tempt me. You know I'll find one.
you love that type of thing, don't you? but appreciate our friends at Carolina Generators being part of this morning show. As I'm broadcasting from atop Paris Mountain, our tower site here this morning, demonstrating how we would be able to stay on the air in the event of a natural disaster or national emergency as part of our partnership with FEMA. And being a PEP station, a primary entry point station, and being ready to be able to deliver that that emergency communication if the president needed to get a public warning out to the public. So glad to have you along. We'll take your phone calls and your comments on the Big Rock text line as usual, 877-235-9405. Got a lot of folks coming in throughout the morning, a guest, and we'll be having them on as time permits as well. While we're talking about yesterday and 9/11 and remembering, Whoopi Goldberg scolded some members of Congress for not being in the chamber during the moment of silence that the U.S. House of Representatives had to remember yesterday's dark day. During the moment of silence, there were a lot of empty chairs in the House chamber. Here's Whoopi.
We don't know why folks weren't there. We don't know why they weren't there. But this might not have been the right day to screw around with the optics. I'm just saying. You know, this is a moment that affected everyone in this country, not just New Yorkers. They came for America, hit us here first, and then went other places to take us, try to take us down. That affected many more people than just us here. And this is an American issue. And every one of you people, every one of you should be out there honoring what you didn't have to do that they did.
She has a point, doesn't she? They should have been there honoring those that lost their lives, the 3,000 plus, as their names were being read in New York yesterday. Look, I'm beginning to get a little worried here because over the past week or so, since The View started their new season, Whoopi and I are agreeing on quite a bit. I forget what it was, but over the past week or so, we've agreed on a couple of different things. 877-235-9405, your call, your opinion, your insight. Let's go to Mike, who's in Spartanburg. Good morning, Mike.
Good early morning to you.
Glad to have you along. What's on your mind?
You're not in your bunker somewhere. You're not like Mark Levine, are you?
Oh, I can't tell you where I am. I can't tell you exactly.
Mark Levine, number two. I mean, you know.
Yes, there you go.
I want to say, as a first responder, retired.
Thank you for your service.
I still back up my law enforcement, and let's give it out to our law enforcement.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
Let's give it out to our first responders, and that includes our firemen and our EMS workers this morning. And they're listening this morning now, and I want to say to them, thank you for doing all of your hard work. Even though sometimes it don't go noticed, it goes noticed.
Yeah.
For the EMS workers and for the firemen and all of our military branches, for keeping us in this country safe, home and abroad. And, you know, just like I've said in the past statements, Joey, we live in the greatest nation on God's green earth. And so, you know, I'll never forget.
That's the whole point, Mike, of yesterday. We can't forget. We, you know, one thing that was brought home to me yesterday, and I really hadn't thought about this till I had some callers who are parents who have, high school seniors this year, 17, 18-year-olds. They were either about to be born or had just been born on that fateful day in 2001, and they don't know. They don't have the memory that you and I have, Mike, of watching the TV that morning and literally being glued to the TV, watching this unfold as the many of us tuned in as we were getting that initial report that a plane had hit one of the towers, and many of us were watching live as the second tower was hit. And then we watched over the next 24, 48 hours, several days, weeks ahead, as those first responders tried to save people, search and rescue the days following. And you're right, we have to let those men and women, and I'm going to be talking with a number of first responders this morning. Chief Phil Jolly from the Pelham-Batesville Fire Department will be joining me in a few minutes. And you're right, we have to let these men and women know that they're appreciated.
That's right.
Yep.
110%.
Appreciate your phone call, Mike. Have a great day in Spartanburg. Quickly to Sam, who's in Anderson. Good morning, Sam.
Good morning. I agree with your last caller there 100%. But I'm calling about the Whoopi Goldberg statement.
Yes.
The one thing everyone is assuming is that those congressmen just didn't show up at all.
Yeah.
Maybe they went to their own districts to participate in local memorial events.
Right. Well, that's true. That's true. Good point, Sam. Maybe we need to give them the benefit of the doubt. Although I think her point was, and that was just a a minute or so of her overall statement. You know, Congress just went back to work just this week. So one would assume that they were all in Washington, D.C., and not in their district. But you're right. They could have been someplace else. Good point.
Yeah, and I think it's just more information probably need to be known about the whole situation. But
sure.
Coming from Whoopi, she's looking at it negatively, like
well,
they just don't care.
Well, and Sam, that's another good point because, you know, I find myself in an odd position agreeing with Whoopi on a number of different things in this past week. And so I'm beginning to wonder, you know, has she changed or have I changed? hey,
well,
Sam.
Maybe her ratings.
Yeah. Appreciate you listening. Yeah, you too. Appreciate you listening in, Anderson. It's 6:30 here on 94.5 The Answer.
Back to the Morning Answer with Joey Hudson on 94.5 The Answer.
Portions of today's show brought to you by Carolina Generators. Don't be left in the dark. Let Carolina Generators give you peace of mind with one of their reliable Generac power generator products backed by world-class service and support. And look, that's how I'm on the air right now. You may be able to hear just a little bit of a hum in the background as we have our generator operating, broadcasting from atop Paris Mountain in this little concrete bunker, if you will. Of course, demonstrating today how we would be able to stay on air if we had a natural disaster or some type of national emergency. And, of course, we'll continue to take your phone calls and your comments. Tommy was reminding me what it was I had found myself agreeing with Whoopi on. Tommy, what was that again?
Marianne Williamson and her how can I say this politely, unique comments
kumbaya,
about...
Yeah,
about
this is where you're supposed to be playing Kumbaya in the background.
I may have been trying to do... Hold on, give me a second. I do feel, now you made me feel unprepared.
Wake up, Tommy. and what was the other situation?
Whoopi Goldberg, when she was kind of getting on Deborah Messing and Eric McCormick about their blacklisting Trump supporter.
Yes, that was it. Yeah, I got to tell you, though, it's an odd feeling for me to be agreeing with Whoopi Goldberg so many times just in about a week's time. Of course, yesterday calling some members out of Congress because they weren't in the House chamber when they had their moment of silence to remember those who lost their lives on 9/11. Keith is in Spartanburg. Welcome in, Keith. How are you?
Hey, Joey. Hey, I'm kind of like you. I think Whoopi's trying to go to heaven or something. You know, I think that, you know, when she mentioned the blacklisting, I was pretty impressed. Mm-hmm. I was impressed yesterday. You know, there comes a point in time that when you know there's going to be some kind of a memorial or some kind of a moment of silence, you stop what you're doing and you go and participate.
Right.
And, you know, you take part in those things and it shows respect. And I think if we're going to remember 9/11, we have to remember how we felt on September 12, the resolve that we had, that we were going to get even, and that the people of the United States, they were going to stand together.
Yeah.
You know,
we were one country. And if we could just have that. If we could have that spirit of working together and coming together and being Americans, we were proud to be Americans. You're right. Good point, Keith. Good point.
Exactly. Yeah. Hey, this is a good show. Thanks for your little bunker site, and that's comfort to all of us knowing that if there's any kind of an emergency, that you will be on the air helping us to get through it together.
And keep it here on. Thank you, Keith. Appreciate you listening in Spartanburg. Yeah, you'll keep it here on 94.5, and we should be able to give you the information that you need to make the right decisions and keep your family safe and to know where to get supplies and all the things. You know, the people in the Bahamas, they're experiencing this right now. Some of the images that I've seen of the devastation. Literally, houses upon houses that are just rubble. The official death toll as of late last night was 50. But there are 2,500-plus people who are unaccounted for. And you got to think that there's probably not good news coming for those families. And that's an example of an event. Hopefully, God forbid, we ever experience that type of devastation here in upstate South Carolina, western North Carolina. But if we do, that's why we have this facility atop Parris Mountain at our broadcast center. You know, we were talking earlier. Many of you already this morning are texting and emailing and talking about just showing our appreciation to first responders. I have one sitting here with me in the bunker atop Parris Mountain, Chief Phil Jolly from the Pelham Batesville Fire Department. Chief, appreciate you being here with me this morning, and I want to say that we do appreciate what you guys do every single day.
Joy, I appreciate that. We've been doing this for a long time. You talked a lot about Dorian last week,
yeah.
and just a brief history on the response to that, I thought that might be appropriate for you.
Oh, absolutely, yes.
This thing actually started for me back in 1998. Do you remember when Florida was burning?
Oh, yes, I do.
I think I may have the dates wrong, but I believe that was 98. South Carolina was tasked, the fire service of South Carolina was tasked with sending crews to Florida to help put
sure.
the fires out. So we really didn't have a good system statewide to do that, so we sort of had to put something together on the fly, and that made us realize that we needed a better method to respond not only to disasters within our own state, but disasters in neighboring areas, and
sure.
just like the Florida thing. So we ended up sending 20 trucks down there and 50 to 100 personnel, don't remember now, but it made us start looking at how we respond to these larger
sure.
state and national disasters. So in 2000, there was a state law created called the South Carolina Firefighter Mobilization Act, and that's really what started out to create the response that we had last week. And I told some of my peers that that response of our state emergency services, which is a combined fire service, law enforcement, EMS, emergency management, everybody involved in the same thing, is what it was. One of the best responses we've seen statewide, and we've responded to many
sure.
things through those years statewide,
sure.
including 9/11. But just a couple of examples of things: 103 personnel were mobilized last week for the Dorian response. Those were swift water rescue teams, urban search and rescue teams. The total man hours for those 103 personnel was 10,656 man hours just for this standby. Most of them standby. Luckily, we weren't hit as bad as we thought we were going to be hit. We sent 17 personnel to the Lowcountry area as firefighter support teams, about 1,000 hours of personnel. And all that's done through this mobilization system. You can go to the state fire marshal's office and find that. But this is one of the things that's been put in place since 98 to be able to mobilize folks throughout the state, and it's working very well.
Well, and that's why we're here today, Chief, is, you know, rather than waiting for something to occur and maybe
exactly.
you're not doing your best thinking, you prepare, and that's what
that's
you
right.
guys do every day.
Exactly.
You're not over there just washing the fire trucks every day. You're thinking about that next call, right?
Well, we do that. We do wash those fire trucks every day. We take a little bit of pride in that, but there's a ton more to it than that. And we welcome folks in any time at Pelham Batesville and any fire department in the area, in the state. The public's always welcome to come in and see what goes on. But there's a ton of things that go on behind the scenes that
yeah.
most people never see and realize.
From, yeah.
Checking fire hydrants, testing equipment. The biggest thing in the fire service is preparedness and readiness and being ready for whatever happens and whatever comes up.
Sure, yeah. Now, you guys have some big news because you're going to be making a move pretty soon.
Yes, sir. The shirt I have on is Pelham Batesville celebrated our 50th anniversary
wow.
last year.
Okay.
And, the current headquarters facility, which you're very familiar
yes.
with, I think you live right down the street.
I do.
Was built in 89. It's 30 years old. We've outgrown it size-wise, parking lot-wise, everything else. So we're moving about a quarter of a mile down the street. And in the end of July, started out of the ground on a new state-of-the-art headquarters facility that should be in about 12 months.
Wow, that's big news. And Chief, I got to tell you, I'm very comforted knowing that you guys are just down the corner from my house in the event that if we needed to call you.
Well, we appreciate that.
Yep. Let's talk for just a minute. We have about a minute left. Now, you're very close to the Greenville-Spartanburg Airport.
Yes.
And I would assume that if needed, that you guys would be called to back those guys up. Do you literally train and think about the event of an airplane crash?
We are the closest fire department to the airport. We're their first mutual aid company to respond. We actually have a drill coming up with them in October.
Mm-hmm.
This is a full-scale drill, full-scale exercise that we'll participate with them, along with many other departments in the area, EMS, law enforcement. It's a practice session is what it's about,
sure.
And that's coming up, I don't remember the date, it's mid-October, Joel.
But that's, again, that's one of those things, like we're doing today, you don't wait for it to happen.
That's right.
You simulate what could happen so that you're
exactly
prepared, so that you're not scrambling around trying to decide what to do.
A whole lot better to know ahead of time where you're going
with
that.
Yeah, absolutely. Chief Phil Jolly with the Pelham-Batesville Fire Department. Congratulations on your new facility. I love to watch buildings go up, and I've been watching you from when you first started digging the dirt a few weeks ago, and that's exciting.
Footings are in, and you should start seeing blocks laid on Monday.
Yep. Chief Phil Jolly with us this morning. 877-235-9405. Lots of ways for you to join the conversation. Love for you to call. And, of course, your texts are welcome on the Big Rock text line as we continue this special broadcast from atop Paris Mountain. Up next, I've got a friend coming by, A.T. Smith. A.T. spent many years in the Secret Service. He worked his way up to deputy director of the Secret Service, and he has some interesting personal stories to tell us how they responded on 9/11. That and much more here on 94.5 The Answer.
It's the Morning Answer on 94.5. The Answer.
Make sure you're properly prepared for this year's hunting season by working with the experts over at CNC Indoor Range. My friend Leslie and his team, they have all the supplies you're going to need for a successful season, regardless of what your game of choice is. If you're ready to upgrade your equipment this year, CNC Indoor Range, they have a great selection of new and gently used rifles and shotguns and all the things that you would need. They'll even let you try them out at their indoor range before buying. Even if you're not in the market for a new firearm this hunting season, Leslie and his team at CNC Indoor, they can help you get ready. Bring in your gun, let them professionally sight your rifles so that you can be confident that your shot is true. They also offer expert gunsmith services and maintenance to ensure that your gun performs perfectly when you're out in the wild. Plus, CNC Indoor Range, they have custom ammo that you can't find anywhere else. Make this season the best it can be by visiting CNC Indoor Range today. Located in Bowling Springs, find them online at ccammo.com. It's 648 here on 94.5 The Answer.
Word.
They wake up in the morning and they drink their coffee black.
Hey, Upstate, it's time to wake up. Here's the Morning Answer with Joey Hudson on 94.5 The Answer.
Portions of today's show brought to you by Carolina Generators. Don't be left in the dark. Let Carolina Generators give you peace of mind in the event of a natural disaster or a national emergency. Have that Generac power generator ready to keep your home, keep the lights on. We remembered the 18th anniversary of one of the nation's darkest days yesterday. And you know, I had a caller a minute ago remind me of the feeling on September the 12th as the nation rallied together. We were all proud Americans. We were one country. We were united to rebuild, to offer support to those families who lost loved ones in that those horrific acts, and to let the world know that America was standing strong. And that's something we need to remember as well, that that patriotism that we all recognized and witnessed on September the 12th and for weeks and months following. That's something we need to get back to. But yes, we remembered 18 years ago. Many of you called in yesterday and talked about where you were and your memory of what you were doing that morning as we got the initial report that an airplane had struck one of the Twin Towers. Initially, it was thought that maybe it was just a general aviation aircraft. Many of us were watching live, though, as that second aircraft hit the second tower. We knew then that our country was under attack. Joining me for a few minutes this morning, A.T. Smith, retired deputy director of the Secret Service. And, Tommy, you and I have talked about this before. And, of course, I believe if I remember correctly, you were headed in. You're in D.C. at the time. You're headed into the Secret Service office. Was there concern when you got word of that initial aircraft or the report that an aircraft had hit one of the Twin Towers?
Well, there was, and it's pretty much what we had talked about before. You know, everybody's initial reaction was that maybe there was just a terrible accident, and it was a smaller plane than we all envisioned. I was actually driving in that morning. I was at the time what they called the executive assistant to the director, which is sort of the chief of staff. And I can remember turning onto New York Avenue about the time the second plane hit, and that's when the realization came that this is no accident. There's something there. But I'm listening to the radio, not able to see anything in terms of the, you know, the television coverage. So sure. That's why I had that first impression that it probably was just an accident in a small plane. And, you know, I was about two blocks away from our headquarters building when I made that turn that morning.
Yep. And that's one of the reasons that we're here today, to show that in the event of something happening like that. And, you know, New York, they were paralyzed there for a while because there were so many of their towers and communication equipment on top of those towers. And when they came down that day, it was hard. You couldn't make phone calls. There were radio stations, TV stations off the air. And that's the whole purpose of today's demonstration, to show that if we were to have something like that in upstate South Carolina, western North Carolina, northeast Georgia, we could make our way up to this little concrete bunker where you and I are sitting right now and stay on the air to inform the public of what to do, where to go, where to get supplies, how to help their family. So we saw the second plane hit, and we knew then that our country was under attack. What did you guys do next?
So for us, obviously, we were with the president in Florida that morning where he had spent the night. He had an event at a school, and everybody remembers that coverage. What I did that morning, as I said, I was about three or four blocks from our headquarters office. I went in, and I actually turned on what we call the Director's Crisis Center, which is a similar command post with a lot of things, you know, access to a lot of different communication capabilities, television. We could watch what was going on at that point. And then certainly I was talking to the director of the Secret Service at that point, and we summoned the entire executive staff in. Everyone has a place at the table, and we began just to try to, you know, make a plan for what we were going to do. And there's a lot of coordination at that point between the president's staff. Obviously, the chief of staff was with him that morning down in Florida. And so once we realized the significance of this and the magnitude of it, as you remember that day, there was a lot of decisions made about whether or not to bring the president back to Washington, D.C., because shortly thereafter, we had the Pentagon. Shortly after that, you had the Shanksville crash with the other plane, and there was a lot of speculation that the White House was a target that morning as well. So we had to coordinate quite a bit about what were we going to do with the president, you know, right away. And as you remember, they shut all the air traffic down. There was a point in time there where I think Air Force One was the only plane in the air. In the nation. And he went from Florida to Louisiana to an air base there for one of the initial stops.
Right. Now, as we're practicing today, if you will, because, you know, you don't want to wait for an emergency to happen to decide how to respond then. You guys, and Secret Service today, you prepare for these type things. You do drills and you do a lot of training, right?
That's exactly right. And that's why it has become so significant and why FEMA plays such an important role in what you're doing. Like you said, the day the towers fell, if you remember those video clips, there was a massive antenna on top of One World Trade, right?
Right.
And when that went down, that completely affected the communication in New York. So since then, FEMA has taken a lead role in what we're doing, preparedness, putting in place the kinds of things that you're talking about, where you would be the point man for the upstate of South Carolina and be able to deliver messages here for 60 days. Because as you said, We all think the cell phone's going to work, and we all think that we're going to be able to communicate, but we can't sometimes when it's that catastrophic.
Yep, we saw it then. 6:58 here on 94.5, The Answer.